Amen. I appreciate the good word of God this morning, don't you? I read just this morning, Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. Over there, David said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And man, he's the only one that takes care of us. We can act just like Mary said there. We can prepare the horses for battle, all those things. We can do our part. But at the end of the day, it's just fruitless. It won't do anything if the Lord don't take care of us. And I hope today that that's where your trust is in today, is in the Lord. Because if it's in anything else, it's pointless. Not saying we shouldn't do our part and be smart about things. But at the same time, Jonah, we can do all we want to. And if it's our time to go, you know what's going to happen? We're gone. And you better just be ready for that. And, you know, I think it got pretty bad in our area, but I'm thankful the Lord did watch over us. And I appreciate everybody being here this morning. We're gonna continue on here in 1 John chapter number 2. For those of you that get Kevin's devotion, this will be a review. So we're on the same verse, and that's okay. Brother Joe, when he preached the other night, he was all over the lesson this morning. And I just trust the Lord that He knows what He's doing.
Right.
And when He coordinates all these things like that, there's a purpose in it. And it may be that we need to hear some things. You know, in the Scripture, sometimes God emphasizes things over and over and over. It's not because He needs to hear it or say it more than once, but He recognizes we're a forgetful people. You see, God's not a forgetful person. We're forgetful people. And we need Him to emphasize things to us at times. So that's why He does that. So we'll start reading in chapter 2. We're going to read down the first 6 verses once again and move past this, Lord willing, after this week. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. And so we've looked at several things down through these verses. We've seen the purpose in Christ's coming, or in Him writing, is that we sin not, and then Christ's coming was our provision as our advocate and our propitiation. We find proof of salvation in this passage, and also we see a problem for those that say things and they don't say that they are one of His and don't abide in Him. There's a problem with that. And then also last week we looked at the production that God makes in the life of a believer, that God changes them and brings them to a level of maturity, a level of perfection. And then also, the last thing in these 6 verses I want to point out is the posture that we find that a believer ought to have. And so it says here in verse number 6, it says, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked.
Amen.
And so right off the bat, we have another one of those expressions, is the term that I use, but a claim, Brother Creston. It says, he that saith, once again, he that saith he abideth in Him. And so we have another claim.
Yep.
Just like in verse number 4, he that saith, I know Him. You understand that anytime you make a claim, you know what that does? That puts an expectation on you.
That's right.
But here what we have the expression, he that saith, I abideth in Him. But this time, I feel, I don't know how you feel about it, but it's one thing for me to say, I know Brother Nathaniel, and for me and him to have a relationship. But it's another thing for me to say, I abide with Nathaniel. That's a little bit of a deeper claim to say that I abide with him. Hey, folks. If you're going to claim that you abide with Christ, you better understand that there are some expectations for your life.
Yes, sir.
And so that word abide, hopefully you probably already know this, but it means to stay with, to continue with, to dwell with, to remain with. What this is a claim of a life of consistency. It means a daily, continual relationship, fellowship with someone. And I don't know about you, but that sets a pretty high standard in my life. If I'm going to say that I abide in Christ, Doug, that's not just me saying I know Him. If I tell you I abide in Christ, I'll be honest with you, that's not a claim that I run around sharing with people. I don't say, oh, I abide in Him. I'm careful about those things, because what that does is that puts a high expectation on my life. Now, I hope that my life demonstrates that I abide in Him. But I don't want to say it, and then my life not depict it.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So you got to be careful what you say. You know, it's one thing to claim you know somebody, but it's just another thing. It's a lot more serious thing to say that I abide in Him. And it just creates that larger expectation. And I can't read about the word abide without thinking of John 15. I just can't do it. Hopefully you're familiar with your scripture, but just flip over there with me. I just can't help but do this. John chapter 15, this is the words of Jesus Himself. Jesus said, I am, in John 15, 1, He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. We get that confused sometimes, don't we? But He is the vine, and we are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. In other words, he's useless. He's useless. And men just gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Does this stuff sound familiar? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you.
That's right.
These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, when I read that, I try to imagine. Can I think of too many people that fit into this category? You know, and the things. So let me clarify what I'm saying there. Is the thing about abiding in Christ is that there's several requirements, and Jesus makes it real plain. He says, if you're going to abide in me, you've got to be subject to my commandments. You can't abide just like. You know, when your kids get older and say they're 18, 19, 20, if they're going to abide at your house, you know what you're going to do? You're going to lay down some parameters. And you say, you can stay here as long as you abide in these parameters. But you know what happens when they cross those parameters? Your abode can no longer be right here. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, if you love me, you got to keep my commandments.
Amen.
If you're going to stay here, if you're going to stay close to me, you have to do what I say.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're going to be at a distance.
That's good.
You can't be close and not abide in him.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Right,
so that's, we're not talking about salvation here.
Right.
Folks, we're talking about the Christian walk of fellowship, the walk of service, what your life looks like on a day in, day out basis. Are you a productive Christian? Or are you a useless Christian? That's the question. That's what Jesus is talking about right here. But number one, he's going to subject you to his commands. And you're expected. The expectation for every one of us is to be productive. He said, he used the term much fruit.
Yeah.
He didn't say just a little bit of fruit.
Thank God.
His expectation is high for every one of us. You say, well, God don't want much of me. Oh, there's a high calling on your life. You might not have figured that out yet, but there is. He expects you to bear much fruit.
Right.
He wants everyone in here to be fruitful. Fruitful branches. That's what he wants you to be. And so we're subject, we're expected, we're subject to his commands, we're expected to produce fruit. But now also, he told us in this passage, we're subject to pruning.
Oh yeah.
So there's going to be some times, if you abide in him, that he's going to cut some things.
Hey,
He's going to cause some temporary hurt that allows for better fruit production in the future.
Right.
And, I mean, that's just what Jesus said. And then he said lastly, one of the last things he said there was that we're expected to love.
Yep.
We're expected to love him, and we're expected to love brethren. We've already covered that. But we're expected to abide in his love. We talked about that last week, didn't we? You know, this is the same writer that we've been reading about over in First John. They tie together real well. So the question is, this Jesus describes what it looks like here to abide in him. My question to you all is it worth it? Is abiding in Christ worth the things that he talks about? Is it worth living with the expectation that you have to produce fruit? Is it worth, Nathaniel, being subject to his commands? We have to ask ourselves these questions.
You're right.
You can act like you don't ask them, but on a daily walk, you ask yourself all these things every day. And that determines whether you're going to live with him that day or you're going to live for self that day. Are you willing to be subject to pruning? I don't like that part myself.
Go ahead.
But it is necessary.
Amen.
And are you willing to love him and love your brother? You see, if you want to abide in him, have that daily close abode. All those things have to be true.
Yep.
And if they're not, he's going to work on you and try to fix it to where it is right. He will do some pruning. And then you know what will happen if you don't adapt yourself to him? You're going to be like one of these unfruitful branches.
Yep.
He's going to set you off to the side and say, well, that's fine. I don't need you on my tree. That's what he's talking about.
Yep.
We're not talking about salvation, but he's just talking about service. He said, you're not going to suck the life out of the other branches when you're not producing any fruit.
Praise God.
You all know how that works, right? Yeah. If you've got a tree that's got some dead parts on it, what are you going to do with that dead parts? You're going to cut them off. You ain't going to leave them there to suck the life out of everything else. So Jesus, what he's saying, he said, I don't need you there. And now we don't want to be the kind that says get in or get out. But at the same time, folks understand there's an expectation if you make a claim that you abide in Christ, that you live right, that you do right. And not for your own glory, but for his glory. And so is it worth it? And, you know, the good thing about Christ is he tells you the requirements. He says, if you're going to abide in me, you have to do these things.
Right.
But he also don't just leave it blank on what's going to come of that.
Right.
He also says, well, if you will do that and you want to abide in me, there's some precious promises that you can have.
Amen.
And, you know, that one of the blessings here is that he said that we could have a promise of answered prayers. If we'd abide in him, he says down there in the latter part, verse 16, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you.
Guarantee it.
Folks, Psalm 30, I wrote this down, Psalm 37, 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And you say, well, the Lord, I'm wanting a new car, and I'm wanting a new house, and I want a new job, and I'd like to make, you know, seven figures a year. Well, you're probably not delighting yourself in the Lord if that's your desires. See, the difference is that with these people that get their prayers answered, you see, if they ask anything in his name, he heareth them. So what's different about the person that abides in Christ is that their desires are aligning to him. And so they get to, you get close to Christ and you start spending time in his word and time in prayer, and you get to telling the Lord you want him more than you want everything else. You know what he'll start doing? He'll start changing your desires. You'll get to wanting things that you've never wanted before. And the things that you used to want, you won't care nothing about anymore. And so what happens is your desires start aligning with his, and then your prayers start aligning with his will. And then you start praying in his will, and you know what happens when you pray in his will? He hears, and it's a guaranteed answer every time.
That's right.
You see, it's not the problem that God doesn't answer prayers. It's the problem that we've got a lot of prayers that don't align with his will. And the reason we have a lot of prayers that don't align with his will is because we've got a lot of Christians that aren't willing to abide in him. And so it all just, it's all in a line. It all works together. And so we have the promise of answered prayers. We have the promise here of glorifying God the Father, it says. If we live in an abiding life with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can glorify God. But there at there down there toward the end there, verse number 11, he said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy might be full. What a precious promise that man, we can glorify God. But then throughout all this, even though we're subject to commands and we're subject to pruning and all these things, man, I'm getting my prayers answered. I'm glorifying God with my life and my joy is fuller than it's ever been. You know that's all true. You're having to live a straight life. But man, it's worth it. To know that God's hearing your prayers. And that he's bringing you joy down in your heart on the inside. But then he said, if you keep my commandments, he said, you're my friend. Folks, I don't know about you, but I can do with some of the less friends here that I've got that are so-called. See, I mean, I've got some friends in my life, I don't know about you, that are kind of like Job's friends. I've been reading Job lately. And he's got a few there that the Lord calls them out there toward the end of the book. He said, you need him to go pray for you. You all got problems. And folks, I can do with less of them and more of the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all this comes with abiding. You say, yeah. You say, is it going to cost me something? It's going to cost you. It'll cost you this world. It'll cost you yourself. It will. I'm not going to stand up here and say that you can have all this and have all that out there too. You can't. You can't. The Bible says that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. I mean, they don't line up. You can't love too. You can't love the world. We'll get there here shortly too. John addresses love in the world. But anyway, folks, if you express that I abide in Christ, there's a high expectation on your life. Just understand that. The expectation is high. And as we continue, we look here, it says, he that saith, back in 1 John, he that saith, I abideth in him. So we see the expression. Then we see the expectation, ought himself also so to walk. Folks, the expectation for every one of us, Joe, you said it the other night, it's not to sit, it's not to be still, it's that we walk. We're required to walk. And, you know, every time I come across this word in my Bible, that word ought, I can't help but just remind myself those things that as a Christian, you know, we use that. Jesse, if I look at you and tell you, You ought to support our pastor. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? You're obligated. There's a necessity. You're held accountable for supporting our pastor. That's what that word ought means. So we are held to, we are bound to a duty. It's an obligation of somebody who makes the claim that I abide in Christ. If I make that claim, you know what I'm obligated to do? Follow up on that claim and walk the walk. And so that's the expectation. And, you know, we read this all the time, 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity."
Right.
We believe in living right at this church.
Right.
And I want you to live right, and I hope you want me to live right.
Oh, yes.
Because we are not just representing ourselves. Well, none of us lived ourselves. None of us died ourselves. Folks, everything you do, everything I do, has an effect on our families.
Yes,
it affects our church.
Yep.
Then you better believe it affects the Lord Jesus Christ and His name out there in the public, out there in society. So it's necessary that if we're going to name His name, especially if we say we abide in Him, that we walk like we're supposed to walk. And I can't help but just remind you of some things. The Bible uses that word several times, that we ought to. I want to just give you a list of some of the things that I found that we ought to do as Christians. The Bible says that men ought always to pray.
Yes,
we ought to obey God rather than men. You ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. We then that are strong, we read this with our kids last night, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You ought to forgive and comfort. Men ought to love their wives as Christ loved. Don't forget that, men. It's easy for us to forget that, isn't it? Love them as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's easy for us to forget. The book of Hebrews teaches us that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We ought to be people of holy conversation and godliness, according to Peter. He made that real clear to us. And here in the book of 1 John, we find also we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And in chapter 4, verse 11, it tells us, once again, we ought to love one another. Folks, if we could just do what we ought to do, wouldn't our lives be better?
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't we be a better picture for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Just the things we ought to do. But we'll move on. So the expectation here is that we walk. You all understand the difference in walking and standing, or walking and sitting, right? Walking requires that you move, that you're going forward, that you're pressing toward something, and hopefully your walk is toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's clear here, he says we ought to walk. And so I think everybody understands that means you're not supposed to just stand still.
Sure.
Now, does the Bible ever command us to stand?
Yeah.
You remember when we looked at the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 there, you know, all those fiery darts are coming. You know, when you're in the hottest part of the battle and Satan is raging, Kevin says when you're fighting 40 acres of hell, that's what he says. Folks, God tells you, he says, having done all, when you've done everything, to stand.
Yep.
And then he says again, stand therefore.
Aye.
There's a time to stand. There's a time when you can't make any progression because the battle is raging. And I understand that, and God understood it because He wrote it in the book.
Right.
But for as many times as He said stand, I didn't count them. But you know how many times it says to walk? There's a lot of walks in there. Folks, there's a whole lot of walking to do. And what that tells me is there is a time, Doug, that man, I can't go no farther. And maybe the battle's too heavy, and it's too hard, and maybe I can't make any progression.
Right.
And maybe it gets that way in our church, and maybe it gets that way in our home, and maybe it gets that way in our workplace. Maybe it gets that way in our family. And having done all, stand. Don't back up, but stand, and stand therefore. But for all the other times, when that battle's not raging, the battle's not always as hot, and you all know that. Maybe it is for a year or two in your life. Maybe it's hard. And if we all live long enough, it's going to get that way. And there's going to be times that it don't feel like we can make it anywhere. But for what about for the rest of the time? What are we to do? We're to walk. We're to walk. We're to move toward God. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
Yes, sir.
We're to walk. Just one step after another. He doesn't say run right here in 1 John. Now, there's times to run, too. He just said it there in Isaiah. But for the most part, the term that's used for the Christian life is to walk. It's supposed to be a walk. That way, you know, you can keep up the pace. See, if you run, you get tired. If you stop, you're not making any progression. But if you walk, man, you can just keep going and going.
Yes, sir.
Keep going and going. And so, but the point is that we have to be heading somewhere. And so here today, I want to tell you, just advance, charge. Folks, we got a place to go. And hopefully you're heading toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, I guarantee you are heading toward Him. But our walk should be after Christ. And you know, one of the greatest examples we find over in the book of Philippians, Paul explains his in chapter 3. We'll just read this. Philippians chapter 3, just a few books back there. Philippians chapter 3. If you're not familiar with some of these passages, you need to write them down and just be... These are some passages that you need to be familiar with as a Christian. They'll help you in many ways. Philippians 3, verse 12, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," you know we saw that word last week, "be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." You see, just because you walk does not mean you're walking to the same place I am. "For our conversation is where? In heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, this Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." You're expected to walk. But you notice from what Paul said, he made it clear where he was walking toward. He pressed. That means he was willing to push it a little bit. He said, I'm making some advancement in this Christian walk, because he had a direction, he had a place to go. But then you notice there were some other people that were doing some walking. They weren't walking to the same place. In the Scripture, Paul said to mark them. Mark them. He said, follow me, don't follow them.
Right.
You see, it's good to find somebody that's following Christ. See the things that they're doing. Now we don't, Kevin, we don't put our faith in you. I can't put my faith in Kevin. Because if I follow him long enough, he's going to stumble.
Yep.
He's going to fall. Now, I hope it's not a big fall.
Sure.
Right? We all hope that. Well, hopefully you pray for that.
Right.
But there's some things in his life that I can watch. And it ought to be that way.
Yeah.
There ought to be some things in my life. I'm your Sunday school teacher. There ought to be some things in my life that you see that you ought to be able to say, he's made some progression in his life. If I haven't, I don't need to be here.
Right. Right.
Y'all understand that? I don't have everything together. I'm a mess. But there's been some areas in my life that I've been able to make some progression. And thank God I've seen some fruit because of it.
Amen.
Not because of me, but just because God helped me through those things.
Amen.
And Kevin, we've learned some things in this walk. And I hope that maybe my kids can look at my walk and say, Daddy did, and all I know is that Daddy did this and this and this, and the Lord always took care of us.
Right.
Daddy prayed. Daddy read us the Bible. We prayed as a family. He took us, we never missed church. Folks, just those things. That's what I hope that our kids can look at. And but then I try to look at my pastor and I think, man, he spends all this time studying and he does this, and I see the fruits in his preaching of the things that God shows him. Man, if I'll just kind of see what he's doing that works, if I can do that, I bet if God will help him, you know what he'll do? He'll help me too. Folks, if you're willing to abide in Christ, he'll help you. His desire is that. He wants us to. But he can't help. I mean, because he is who he is. Because he's so holy, there is expectation on your life. And you can't be walking toward him and at the same time walking toward the world and it all work out. It just won't. It just don't happen. So you have to walk somewhere and it has to be toward Christ. And so our walk should be toward him. And that's the expectation today. So the question with that would be, where are you walking? Where are you walking? Where are you headed? Hopefully it's toward Christ. And you have to answer. I can't answer that for you. But think about your walk with Christ. So there's an expression. And then by that expression, there's that expectation. And I just want to be clear. That expectation does not just come from the Bible. If you name, if you claim Christ, if you say, I abide in him, Nathaniel, there's an expectation from the people. If you go out there and tell lost people that you work with that you abide in Christ,
yes, sir.
You know what you've done? You've put a target on your back.
Yep.
And you know what they're going to start doing? They're going to watch every move you make. So there's an expectation from them. Hey, if you're part of this church and you get up and testify about how you love the Lord,
yep.
You get up in the choir and sing about how much you love the Lord, you know what that does? That puts an expectation from the people that you go to church with. That your life is a life that abides in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, I don't want none of that. Well, you're claiming it. So the Bible's clear about the expectation. And whether you want the expectation or not, it's there.
That's right.
And so you can either be good for the cause of Christ and be a good example, or you can be a poor excuse for an example.
Yep.
Yep. And a poor excuse for a Christian and live how you want to.
You're right.
And you can stand up here and do what you want to do. You can, folks, you can stand up here. The worst sinner can get up. I mean, we've had them come in this church before and want to testify. And everybody know how they live. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And they stand up and say, cry about how much they love the Lord and how the Lord's helped them. Well, the Lord had helped them. They wouldn't be here if he hadn't. But their life was not a life that showed that they loved the Lord. I'm not trying to be critical.
Nope.
Not at all. I'm trying to give examples. But now, because we've already seen those lives, we don't have any expectation of them, do we? But for those of us that have been here day after day and year after year, there's a high expectation on our life.
You better believe.
And Nathaniel, if you fall, if I fall, if Donnie Neal falls, if Doug Voles falls, what? Delmer Savage quits walking.
Oh, wow.
How many people does that shipwreck?
Bunch.
Folks, you can see it over and over. Family after family, church after church, community after community, devastated. Why? Because one person failed.
Sure.
Should it cause that much harm to the cause of Christ if one person falls? I don't know. But it does, don't it? So we got to be careful how we walk.
Yep.
And that we, if we claim it, you know what you better do? You better just live it.
Amen.
If you ain't going to live it, just don't claim it.
Amen.
It's easy.
Yes, sir.
Just say, I don't abide in Him. I'd love to somebody be that way. I'd rather go out and knock on doors. And I won't use John Tipton as an example, just because I love John and I know where I stand with him when I talk to him. I can go out and knock on John's door. And Kevin, you was with me that one night we went. He said, you fellas come on in. I'm watching basketball. If you want to talk basketball, we'll talk. He said, but I ain't interested in talking about the Lord. I ain't saved. No, I ain't saved. Don't claim to be. I'd rather somebody be that way.
Yes,
than to go knock on the doors and all of them tell us, oh, I've been saved. I'm not going to go off on that today. But I'm gonna finish. Yeah, we can finish this real quick. So the last thing that we see in this verse, he says, we ought himself also to walk. The last part, we find the example, even as he walked.
Yep.
So you know who we're to really follow? We're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to walk like he walked. He said this in John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you walk as he walked, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have light. And your steps are going to be right. So, I think I read some of these to you all a while back. But just to wrap this up, just some things. You know, I talked about how many times the Scripture talked about walk. I'm going to read some of these to you and we'll close. The Bible says we also should walk in newness of life. We're to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're to walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We should walk in good works. We're to walk worthy of vocation wherewith we are called. We're to walk in love and walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We're to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We're to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. That one's real important.
Yes,
redeeming the time. We're to walk worthy of God and to walk and to please God. We're to walk honestly toward them that are without. That sounds familiar too. Folks, it's real serious that we walk right out there. It's one thing to walk right in here. But don't offend them that are out, that are without, if you can keep from it. Don't hinder their salvation. And 2 John and 3 John teach us that we're to walk in truth. But the most important thing to remember is you're to walk like Jesus.
Yes,
walk like Jesus, 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There's an expectation on every life of every saint of God that claims Christ, that claims an abode with him. Is that we walk like he walks. And if we don't, then there's a problem. So I appreciate y'all's good attention. We'll pick up there in verse 7 next week, Lord willing.